Well, today is the second Sunday in Advent. This is the time when we are preparing that journey towards Christmas, preparing our hearts for the miracle of Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. But you know, we don't like you to have to do this without some help from your pastor. So this morning, I want to focus on helping you with this journey. I thought it might be good to offer you a checklist of things you need to get out of the way. Now, you want to have that perfect Christmas, I know that, so I'm going to ask you 10 questions and give yourself 1 point for each one of these. Just kind of keep that total in your head, and then afterwards, I'll help you rank yourself, see how you're doing towards that perfect Christmas. Remember, 1 point for each of these questions. Question number one, have you bought your tree and decorated with lights and ornaments? And if so, you get 1 point. You got to have it all finished, not almost done. Okay? Question number two. Remember, they're all worth 1 point. You've finished putting up all your inside displays of nativities and Santas and elves and reindeers, angels, all set up, boxes put away. Can't just leave the boxes there. Okay? Get another point for that one. Number three. Outside of your house, you have completely finished putting up all the lights and all the displays that you're going to put in your yard. You get a point for that. And this one, I'm sure you've done already. You have already addressed and sent those annual letters and Christmas cards to everybody that needs one. All finished in the mail, gone. Number five, again, all worth 1 point. You've completed all your Christmas shopping and you've wrapped all the Christmas presents. All right? Not one hanging to go. And that includes stocking stuffers, okay? So be adding up your points. By now, if you're leaning towards that perfect Christmas, you've got 5 points. But there's five more. You've donated to all the charities that have asked you for help. All right? 1 point for that. And you've already completed your baking and delivering of Christmas cookies to others. That's 1 point. Number eight, you have kept up and not skipped a single one of the Advent devotions. Number nine, since the day after Thanksgiving, you have only listened to Christmas carols. You haven't slipped into some other genre, but just focused and preparing your heart with only Christmas carols. And number 10, which might be the challenge, you've already lost those 5 pounds you put on at Thanksgiving. So you can indulge on Christmas morning and not worry about a thing. So how'd you do? 10 possible points. If you score 10, you're going to have that wonderful, perfect Christmas, is my guesstimate. If you scored 8 or 9, then you better get busy because Christmas is in serious jeopardy, at least that perfect Christmas. And if you scored less than 8, go ahead and give up because you're not going to get there. I know. Who told us Christmas had to be perfect? I mean, who's fed us that line? I know some folks who think it just needs to be that way. And when you turn on the TV and look at all those Hallmark and Lifetime movies, you're led to believe it has to be that way. Everything is decorated perfectly. But let's be honest. Life is too messy and too convoluted, especially during busy seasons like Advent and Christmas. Now, I love the Christmas story. But one of the reasons I love it is because it is not a story of perfection. It's a story of a birth that is anything but what people expected during that time of year. In the Gospels, we learn perfectly or quickly that our idea of perfect is not necessarily God's idea. And that may be a clue. Because when I'm trying to make it perfect, the question is, am I really listening to what God intends? Mary, the mother of Jesus, will be the first to tell you there are times when you need to let go. You need to let go of that perfect ideal, and instead you need to trust God. So let me read you that story as it's found in the Gospel of Luke, beginning in verse 26. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, sent to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is a sixth month for her. She was said to be barren, for nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. You can imagine, if you just take a moment, think about it, the challenge that Mary was facing. Her ideal, we would presume, was to marry Joseph, to set up their home, eventually to have a family. That's her idea of perfect. But that perfect ideal fell apart when this angel appeared, and it completely evaporated when she had to explain that she was pregnant well before the wedding. Hardly perfect, we would say. For Mary, the answer was to let go, to give up on her idea of perfection. I mean, if you look at the story of Elizabeth, maybe her perfect ideal was to have children, and here she is in her old age, not yet able to conceive until, well, something incredible happens. But giving up on perfection, struggling with life going in a way that we did not anticipate, something other than what we intend, that's hard to do. But every time we look at Scripture, we have to ask about ourselves. So what about you? What is your ideal? Are you trying too hard to make it seem perfect? When God wants something before all the gifts, before all the decorations and the celebrations, we can never control everything enough to make it perfect. You probably know that. But what God offers to us is the perfect gift. Mary realized that when the angel spoke to her. She finally says, "Let it be with me according to your word." That is, Mary let go of her idea, her plan, her imagined perfection, and she let God take the lead. That lead is what Nikki referred to earlier. We call it love. The love of God expressed in a remarkable gift. John puts it well, God loved the world so much that he gave us his son, he gave us his love. Advent is not a time for a checkoff list. That's why you were laughing at all those questions. That's impossible, you would say. It just doesn't work out like that. Stuff gets in the way. Things happen. Schedules are messed up. Of course they are, but that's not what this season is about. Though sometimes we work really hard to make it that way. It's a time, this Advent season is a time to experience, to share, to know the love of God revealed in the birth of Jesus Christ. And what we're leaning towards, working towards, heading towards is Christmas Eve, when it all comes together. So maybe instead of worrying about getting it all done, for the sake of checking off that list, let me offer you a perspective, a way of journeying through this Advent and Christmas season. Let me share with you the Christmas version of 1 Corinthians 13. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny balls, but do not have love, I am just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not have love, I'm just another cook. If I work at a soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all I have to charity, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties, and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I have missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind, though harried and tired. Love does not envy another's home that has been coordinated, has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love does not yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful that they are there to be in the way. Love does not give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who cannot. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Toys will break, pearl necklaces will be lost, golf clubs will rust, but giving the gift of love will endure. So let me give you this reminder. This Christmas does not have to be perfect, but it can be, and it should be loving. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for showing us what this season is really about. As we sing in that hymn, love came down at Christmas. Thank you for not giving us a checklist, for not giving us things to do, rather helping us to experience how deeply and how profoundly you love us. For that gift, Lord, we give you thanks. Amen. Every now and then somebody will say, I remember a sermon. Actually, they don't remember the sermon. The words are lost after time. And the farther it gets, the more they forget. So why preach? What I've learned is it's about how they felt. You know that. If our hearts are warmed, if our spirits are encouraged, if we find hope, that's what we remember. So when God sent Jesus Christ, it's so that we could experience love. Not have another list of things to do, not another realm of tasks to complete, but that we could feel the love of God made real. Love did come down at Christmas, and it is with us even now. So in that spirit of love and peace, go. Share that love with others. Amen.